Okay. I want to share with you a few things this morning concerning hearing the voice of God. And there's a lot of people who think God doesn't speak today, when actually He does. God does speak. He speaks directly to you. He'll speak to you through His Word, through the Bible, through worship, through prayer, all kinds of ways. But a lot of people feel that God doesn't speak to them. In fact, often I'll get the question, how do I know that that was God speaking and not just my own mind? A very legitimate and important question. And I want to unpack that a little bit today with you, particularly as we look at what Mary experienced with the announcement, sometimes called the Annunciation of Jesus coming to the earth. And one of the things that happens, you know, if people think, well, how do I know that was one of my own thoughts? One of the things that can come up is this. There's an awful lot of people who say God spoke to them and they do crazy things and God never spoke to them at all because it was so absolutely so crazy. But I just want to underline to you, just because there's people who do things because they say God told me to do that when God said no such thing, that doesn't mean God doesn't speak to you. John Wesley once said, just because there's deranged people who think they are kings and queens when they're not, does not mean there are no kings and queens. The same with God speaking to you. God wants to communicate with you. God wants to say things to you. God has things that He wants to create through your life, which He does by speaking. And all of that is very, very important to living a Christian life, to having a day-by-day life of following Jesus. And Mary gives us a few clues as to how that happens. In fact, there are two positions for hearing the word of the Lord to you, and then there are two results that we see with Mary this morning and the angel. Now, one of the things that Mary said here, well, it actually describes what happens. An angel shows up. And by the way, this is a very big angel. Huge angel. And how do you know that? Well, angels whose names end in L are huge angels. L being one of the names of God, one of the prefixes of God. So like Michael, Gabriel. You know, these are angels with special kinds of assignments, and they're huge. And this huge angel shows up with Mary, who's probably 14 at this time. I'd have been a little troubled myself if that happened. But there she is. And it says in this particular translation we have in our bulletin, but she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this may be. Well, I'd have been much perplexed myself. In fact, I'd have been kind of terrified or troubled. Other translations say that she was troubled. And one of the ways of really catching what God is saying to you is being attentive to what's going on. That's the first position, is to be attentive. And when you're attentive to what God is doing, even if you're not sure that it's God, but you know something is going on, you're beginning to get a hold of the voice of the Lord to you. So here, Mary says, I was troubled. I was perplexed. What's going on? What is this? She was attentive to what was happening within her. A very important aspect of hearing the voice of God. In fact, you'll notice that it says she was perplexed or troubled. A lot of people have the kind of assumption that if God is going to speak to you, then everything's going to be joy and happiness right away. Well, not necessarily so. What may happen is that you would be troubled, or you would be perplexed, or you would be a little frightened, or something that you wouldn't normally associate with the happy spirit that often we think God is. But that's because there's something happening with you. And when something's happening with you, that could well be God. Just being attentive to that and to the way that that goes. There could be many other things, too, that would go on that point to the fact that God is speaking to you. Whatever it may be. In fact, you may have that emotional kind of response, troubled, whatever, that could be God. You may also have a physical response. And that physical response may be relief or some unexplained kind of attentiveness that you have. All of a sudden you're alert. That could be God just getting your attention in some way or another. And the only explanation just may be that that's God being present with you. So when you're attentive to that, you just observe it, you take note. There's something happening. God's tapping you on the shoulder, probably very gently, and then you begin paying attention to what you're experiencing with that. That's the first step, the first way of taking in the voice of God to you. And then the second way, the second position, is humility. You just humbly begin to say, well, okay, maybe God is trying to get my attention. And maybe that is why I'm feeling this. And maybe it is a little different from what I usually think about God. But God's a lot bigger than I am. So you come into the position to receive. Coming into the position to receive is what submission is. A lot of people will think submission is being in the position to be the doormat. Actually, it's being in the position to receive. It's facing God. It's saying, yes, whatever you've got right now, I'd like to have it. What you've got for me, I want to receive it. And that takes some humility. It's a humbleness of our spirit, which is ready to receive what God may be saying or positioning us to be in for whatever reason. And the reason that humility is so important at that point is if we've been attentive and we're troubled or perplexed or confused or whatever, something that we usually do not relate with God, it takes some humility to say, I may not have experienced yet what God wants to give me right now. And so you receive it. You get into the position to receive it, as Mary did. So here we are. We've got some attentiveness going on. We've observed what's happening with us. We're reflecting on it. We're beginning to think, okay, God wants me to receive something. I'm ready to receive it. So now what do we do? Well, there's two results of how you know God has been speaking to you. And one of them is that you know you belong to Him. How do I know I've heard the voice of God? You know that you belong to Him. You may not understand what God is saying. You may not understand if it's a Bible verse. You may not understand the Bible verse. You may not catch what's going on around you. You may feel lost still, but you know that God has looked at you and deep into your soul and has begun to say, you are my child and in you I am well pleased. That becomes a confidence that you have. You absolutely know that God has come after you and wants you and loves you and His mercy is being poured on you. Even if you can't pass the Bible quiz, you know that. That is one of the great differences between the Christian faith and many other world religions and other religious systems. Those many will have teachers that give a step-by-step way to reach something or reach God or whatever. It's us following certain steps and there's God. What Jesus tells us is, I'm coming after you. I'm looking for you. I'm not expecting you to look for me. I'm looking for you. I want to be with you. And when you have that kind of confidence and hope and knowledge and assurance, that's the first sign. You're hearing something from God, because that's the main thing He wants to tell you. The second thing that you begin to get as a result, you know you've heard the voice of God because of the second thing, which is this. You have a joyful confidence that you can do what he asks. You can take the step he's put before you. And if you get it wrong, you'll still be okay. You have that assurance that he loves you and will give you what you need to take that step, whatever it may be. That kind of confidence means that you are now living out of the identity that he gave you when you received the thought from him that you're his child. When you began to realize you belong to him, your identity began to be filled up with his presence. And then, from that, you take the steps he wants you to take. As I've shared with the congregation at St. Francis so often, obedience is walking according to your identity. It is doing something according to who you are. It's not being forced to do something that is opposite of your character, opposite of the way that you were made. It is walking in the exact way God has made you, and you have his power to do it, and you have a great confidence that you are now able to do it, and you want to do it. When that is filling you up, you know that you've heard the voice of God. Even if you can't write down a sentence that he told you or draw a picture that he showed you, but you have that result, that's the sign that he's there speaking to you. That's begun to be created within you. He begins drawing you closer and closer to him. See, what it is, it's not so much that he is forcing you to be good so that your character will be acceptable to him. What he's doing is he's pouring his character into you. The character of Jesus begins to be reproduced within you. The love of Jesus begins to be something that flows through you. The mercy of Jesus begins to be something that informs the steps that you take. The way Jesus thinks about other people becomes the way you think about other people because he's begun to pour his character in you. That sense of Jesus being reproduced within you is what motivates you to do what he wants because you're becoming just like him, which is his desire. This is a very different thing than having spiritual highlights all the time. You can't have them all the time. If you had all highlights, there'd be no lowlights. You wouldn't know you had a highlight. They'd all be the same. You know, if it's a wonderful spiritual experience, and then you go on and do whatever you do, and then you have another wonderful spiritual experience, that's just a portion of what it is to encounter Jesus. It's an everyday life. Every single day, following in the footsteps of Jesus, being like him, doing what he would do, thinking what he would think, being able to love the way he loved because he's pouring his character within you. When that's your desire, you know you've heard the voice of God. God bless you. Now, I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. One is this. Be attentive. Is God giving you something right now? Is he tapping you on the shoulder in some way? Do you feel a little troubled, perplexed, confident, whatever it may be? What's going on? That's from the Spirit of God. And then to be in the position to receive it. To just take that humility before him and say, yes, I'd like to receive it. Or like Mary said, let it be with me according to your word. And then go ahead with that. There may just be one step or one impression of one step that God is giving you right now. If you would take that step, you'd be growing to be like Jesus. You'd be following after him. You'd be living a Christian life, which is what he calls us to do. And he will be with you every step of the way, no matter what. Tragedy, heartache, great success, great joy, nothing will separate you from what he is telling you and giving you and pouring into you. That's the Christian life. So if you would you just stand right now and let's have another moment of quiet before the Lord, and then we'll move along and come with some more dancing into the Lord's table. Lord Jesus, we ask you now to fill us with an ability to see what you're doing. That we would, by your power, be attentive to what you are doing. Now, whatever impression or thought or whatever it may be that the Lord has given you, if you within your own heart would now put yourself in the position to receive it and tell the Lord from your own heart, let it be with me according to your word. Lord Jesus, that you would do all this for the glory of your name. Amen. If you would now join together with the words of the Nicene Creed, which you find in the bulletin.